Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Researchers have discovered a new solution for cell replacement. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is August 15th, 2013. We are on our first day of newsworthy clips, 3 days of news clips that you can find on pages 26, 27, and 28 in your Advanced magazine. We've got three different stories. The first two actually are related to the medical field. So they're very interesting, very different, and also quite challenging with some of the terminology, vocabulary, and concepts that we do talk about. So make sure you've got your highlighter or red pen out to highlight special words and terms that we talk about, not just the bold printed, the specialized terms and vocab focus words, but also a lot of other things that we're going to talk about as we go through these articles. So they are challenging, and so that means we must have top-notch panelists here on the program. And first, off to my left is Nathaniel Dunn. Hi, Nathaniel.
Hey, Bill. Good to be here. Interesting thing about today's articles, they're news, but they're also very relatable. I think people will find these issues maybe close to heart.
Yeah, I think so, because while they are scientific and maybe somewhat complex, they also are things that we can all relate to and identify with, and maybe even they will affect us, too, sometime in life, if not already. Lois Fisk is also here. Hi, Lois.
Hi, Bill. It's great to be here, and it's great to share this information with our listeners today.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I always like newsworthy clips. We've got variety when we have newsworthy clips, and this is the kind of stuff here that usually people ignore. Usually in life, we're caught up watching all the pop news, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We might find this in the back of a magazine, Bill, and we won't bother reading it.
Right. It's not going to, this is not front page material for the newspaper. Usually the front page material is scandal, chaos,
that's right.
Bribery, somebody getting arrested or some movie star doing something silly. But this is actually stuff that is none of those, but actually is more relevant in all of our lives, right?
Yeah, I think so. And actually, one of these stories I find quite exciting. There could be a lot of development from the first one that we're going to talk about.
Yeah. Okay. Have you ever known anybody that maybe had tried stem cell implants or anything like that, Lois?
I'm just trying to think of somebody I think might have used it in British Columbia, actually. Mm-hmm. Somebody that got really, really badly I think quadriplegic or paraplegic, riding a bicycle actually became that.
Okay. Now, all right. Well, since you mentioned those two terms, let's explain what they are. So somebody gets in a bicycle accident and they become a paraplegic. What does that mean?
A paraplegic, we get the word pair there. So we lose the use of their legs.
Okay. Actually, the prefix para, P-A-R-A.
That's right.
Meaning two.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. And then quadriplegic means you have no use of all four of your limbs. So your two arms and your two legs and generally not your hands or anything.
Yeah. Okay. So like Christopher Reeves, who was Superman many years ago in the movies, he became a quadriplegic after falling off a horse. I believe it was in a jumping competition.
Exactly. Equestrian competition. Yeah. That's right, Bill.
Okay. So, yes. Those are the types of patients that might be helped by this cell development, people who are paralyzed, one of many debilitating illnesses and ailments that might benefit from this new cell development. So let's turn to our reading on page 26. Our first reading will be on the left column down to line 17.
Newly discovered cell could heal damaged tissue and organs, researchers say. University of California, San Francisco researchers have discovered a new type of cell that might one day be used to heal a variety of wounds and damaged organs. The newly discovered cells act similarly to embryonic stem cells that can be placed in mice or in a petri dish and instructed to produce many different cell types. That raises hope that the cells might someday be used as a sort of personalized patch kit without the controversy that has surrounded stem cells taken from human embryos. When we saw that they could make cartilage, bone, gut, brain, pancreas cells, even beating heart tissue, we were excited and intrigued, said senior study author Thea Tilstey, a UCSF professor.
Okay, newly discovered cell could heal damaged tissue and organs, researchers say. So where do we start off, Nathaniel?
We're starting off at the University of California in San Francisco. That's where the researchers that are looking in to these cells are located.
All right. And what have they done, Lois?
They've discovered a new type of cell that might one day be used to heal a variety of wounds and damaged organs. So this is very interesting, Bill.
Yeah, it really is. This is quite a breakthrough. So, and this is obviously more healing that the body needs help with, not just something if we get a cut or a broken bone that will heal normally on its own, but actually we need help. We need boosting. Our body needs boosting as far as being able to recover from severe ailments and injuries. So, and the newly discovered cells we see in the next paragraph, well, what do they do?
They act similarly to embryonic stem cells that can be placed in mice or in a petri dish we see there. Embryonic is from embryo, which is, you know, a baby that is not very far developed, still inside the mother's womb.
Okay. And then also stem cells. I have mentioned the term stem cells. How do we define stem cells?
Okay, Bill, that's a good question because it's actually in our vocabulary focus, so we have a really clear and concise definition for it there. A cell, especially one taken from a person or animal in a very early stage of development, that can develop into any type of cell.
Okay, all right, so it is important for us to know the term stem cells. About that, also embryonic stem cells, the difference in those particular stem cells. Stem cells can come from a number of different sources. We've done articles here in advance. I believe it was about 2 years ago. We talked about stem cells being taken from inside people's noses. So there are different parts of the body that actually produce stem cells. Embryonic stem cells are the largest source of stem cells. However, it's a very controversial issue, which we will talk about why in a few moments. So, but anyways, these researchers, they took these new cells, the newly discovered cells, they placed them in mice or in a petri dish. Now, what's a petri dish?
It's kind of a clear little container that you see in a laboratory scientists use. They can put different substances, usually biological substances, in these dishes and examine them in those dishes.
Why is it significant? What's up with having a petri dish?
Well, I think one thing that you can do with a petri dish, you can let something develop there. You can put it in, in heat. You can put it in a very cold environment. Also, I think they allow you to view them up close in some cases as well.
Yeah.
And our readers might want to know too. There's not much depth to them. They're very shallow.
And the idea is to isolate whatever it is that you are researching. So you want to keep this thing separate in a controlled, fairly controlled environment. Now, what did they do with these cells? This is kind of funny what they did, we see there in the rest of that sentence.
Well, it says, and instructed to produce many different cell types. So, instructed?
So what did they do? Did they talk to the cells?
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm thinking, Bill.
All right. Cells turn into a foot. Or something. No. But maybe how did they instruct them?
Well, probably through some kind of chemical means or otherwise they will kind of steer the way that these cells will develop.
Yeah. Okay. So they were manipulating what it is, the direction they wanted these cells to grow in and what they wanted them to turn into. Now, looks like there is something here, some positive news, right?
Yeah. We have some hope here, Bill, because it says that raises hope that the cells might someday be used as a sort of personalized patch kit. So I'm finding that quite interesting, and I know our readers will too.
Okay. What does that part of the sentence mean?
Personalized patch kit. If something is personalized, it is specifically for you, made for you. A patch kit, you can patch something up, fix it up.
Kind of reminds me of when I travel. I'm one of these people that it has gas-permeable contact lenses, so not a lot of people wear them in the world anymore. Mm-hmm. And I have to take my little patch kit with me. I have a special solution that's not sold a lot of places, and I also have to have a case for them and that sort of thing. So it's my little patch kit when I travel.
Okay. All right. So what that means is actually each one of us could actually have our own supply of cells that could be used to help us heal when we have a serious ailment or injury. And the good thing about this development is what?
Well, we see that this does not have the controversy that is carried with the embryonic stem cells. We see the controversy that has surrounded stem cells taken from human embryos. A lot of people are not really supportive of taking cells from embryos, and probably for good reason, though there's a lot of debate on that issue.
All right. Well, I'll tell you, just so our listeners understand it, the really core of this controversy of human of embryonic stem cells is that the fetuses that were aborted, when women have abortions, they were taking the fetuses and taking the embryonic stem cells from the babies, and the controversy being that, well, this development might end up actually turning into too much of an industry that actually promotes abortion. So that has been the controversy all along, is that, wow, we've got this really interesting discovery of stem cells. However, there is a huge price that comes along with that. So on one side of the equation, you've got healing. On the other side, you've got destruction. And so how do we reconcile this controversy? Well, if we can develop the cells outside of that method, as the researchers are doing at the University of San Francisco, we can maybe then sidestep that entire controversy and move away from that source of cells.
So, right.
Okay. The last paragraph of this first reading, we hear from Thea Tolsti, a UCSF professor. And what does she say?
She says, when we saw that they could make cartilage, bone, gut, brain, pancreas cells, even beating heart tissue, we were excited and intrigued. Now, I would be too. That must have been quite the excitement in the lab.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is fascinating. And let's just cover a couple of those things right there that are listed. First off, cartilage. Cartilage is actually what you might consider the oil between the bones in your joints, like your knee, your hip, your elbow. And that is the material. It is the natural material that our body produces that actually makes you move smoothly. When we run out of cartilage, then that's when we need hip replacements, knee replacements, the bones grinding on bone then.
Exactly. Yeah. And we can sometimes in our knees hear a little clicking sound if we don't have enough cartilage or it's removed.
Well, the beauty of this new development is that cartilage is not naturally reproduced by the body. We are given a supply as we, you know, when we're born, and that's it. We do not reproduce cartilage. And so this is a minor miracle that they could actually come up with something to reproduce cartilage. Mm-hmm. Then we see some other things there. Of course, we know what bone is. What about gut?
Gut, I usually think of the intestines or the stomach, that type of material that's inside the body. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Brain and then also pancreas cells we see there. And then the next one.
Even beating heart tissue.
Yeah.
Okay, now I find this really hard to even comprehend, Bill. Can you explain this?
Well, it's as far as the heart, the heart is actually considered a muscle. Mm-hmm. And again, I can see this where people do have heart disease or they do suffer some damage from minor heart attacks. It becomes weaker. And actually, these cells might be a way of strengthening a weak heart. And as we get older, this will help people recover from heart disease instead of just relying on pharmaceuticals. So, all right. And they are excited and intrigued. I can understand that. I'm excited and intrigued. So, all right. We will have our second reading now down to the bottom of that left column.
The The study was published in the online early edition of the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Scientists had previously believed that so-called pluripotent cells, which can transform into most cell types, did not exist in the body beyond the embryonic stage of development. The new cells may have some advantages over a 2007 scientific breakthrough, the discovery that adult skin cells could be reprogrammed or reverse-engineered to act like embryonic stem cells and transform into a variety of cell types, said Tilstey.
Okay, now we just met one of the study's lead authors, Thea Tilstey, and she's working there at the University of California, San Francisco as a professor, and they did this research. And then the study was published where?
Yes, it was published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, I'm sorry.
Okay, now we say they're the online early edition, and what that is, the Proceedings of National Academy of Sciences, they do have a journal that is printed, but the early editions are those articles that have not gone to print yet. Once they do go to print, they're removed from the online edition. Scientists had previously believed what?
That so-called pluripotent cells, which can transform into most cell types, did not exist in the body beyond the embryonic stage of development. So these cells only existed in the embryos, so they thought.
Okay, so again, it goes back to what I mentioned before. Stem cells and these pluripotent cells were considered only in the embryos. And that's where the controversy was coming in, was saying, wow, we've got this solution, but they're coming from embryos, many that come from aborted babies. So that was the belief that we can only get them from there or from the placenta that was surrounding the babies at birth. Now, and people didn't, the scientists didn't think that these cells existed in the body anywhere else beyond this early stage of development. However, that's old study. That's old information, right?
Yeah. It says we have new breakthroughs, and it says a 2007 scientific breakthrough, the discovery that adult skin cells could be reprogrammed or reverse engineered to act like embryonic stem cells.
Okay. So we've had some further development in this. And we're talking about these cells that were developed at the University of California, San Francisco recently. Now, they have advantages over a 2007 scientific breakthrough that did find stem cells in other parts of the body. I mentioned like the nose, mm-hmm. other places like that. So, but these new ones do have an advantage. What we're talking about first off is that these cells that they discovered in 2007 could be reprogrammed. And what?
Reverse engineered, which I think we could say is studying something kind of with the goal of being able to copy it down the road. Our definition refers to companies maybe in business trying to do this sort of thing. Here it's applied to science or medicine.
Okay. All right. So reverse engineering, actually almost like going back to the drawing board, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So, and they can act like embryonic stem cells and transform into a variety of cell types. And that is according to the senior study author, Thea Tilstey. Let's have our final reading for today.
Researchers dubbed these reprogrammed cells induced pluripotent stem cells, or IPS. Such cells are made without destroying embryos. Tilstey noted that the newly discovered cells are more genetically stable than the IPS cells and are limited in how often they can reproduce, making them less likely to form cancers. They have great potential, Tilstey said. They are calling the newly identified cells endogenous pluripotent somatic cells, or EPS. Pretty much everything we've asked them to make, they've made, Tilstey said. These cells have responded beautifully.
Bill Quinn here with Lois Fisk and Nathaniel Dunn. We are on our first newsworthy clip here this month of August. You can find it on page 26, and we are talking about some newly discovered cells that could help heal damaged tissue and organs. So this is quite a breakthrough in the medical community, and we're talking about these cells that were discovered at a study at the University of California, San Francisco. The researchers, they did what with these? They named them or what?
Yeah, they dubbed these reprogrammed cells induced pluripotent stem cells, or IPS. But yes, to dub something is to give it a new name. And when we reprogram something, we usually think of computer programs, but here we are talking about cells.
Okay. Or, you know, yeah, think of, you know, different devices that you might reprogram, a computer program, your phone, your laptop, even your DVD player. But we actually are giving instructions to these cells to reprogram them, control what they grow into.
And you know, Bill, when I read this first little paragraph here on the right-hand column, I like the next sentence that says, such cells are made without destroying embryos.
Yeah. So, and that is, again, addressing that the controversy that does surround stem cells taken from
human embryos. No, we call it an ethical question, right? It's ethics. What do you think here? And there's people that tend to go on both sides of this debate.
Yeah. And so it is, this is quite a breakthrough, not just medically, but also, you know, even affecting the culture.
That's right.
And society and choices that people will make. So now, Thea Tilstey, notes here.
Okay, noted that the newly discovered cells are more genetically stable than the iPS cells and are limited in how often they can reproduce, making them less likely to form cancers.
Okay, let me just explain something here. In our paragraph right before that, if you look over in the left column, down on line 27, we're talking about a 2007 scientific breakthrough. Those cells, adult skin cells, were discovered elsewhere in human skin and other places. Those are the cells that were dubbed the iPS cells. Now, in this paragraph, Tilstey is talking about the more recent ones that were just discovered within the last year. These are the ones she's calling the newly discovered cells are more genetically stable than the 2007 iPS cells. And, you know, we talk about this. What does she mean by genetically stable?
Well, I guess that if they're unstable, you don't know what is going to happen with them. They could cause some kind of danger if they are not stable on the genetic level, on the level of genes and what that might cause to happen in your body.
We've talked a lot also in science and medicine here about genetic programming and how scientists have been able to clone certain items, animals, sheep, dogs, things like that. What they have discovered is there is some genetic instability with all of this DNA reprogramming, because at first the animals might be fine, but what they find out is then over the course of a year or 2 years or 3 years, they either age prematurely, they develop problems that aren't normally in those animals, or they die from diseases that they would not normally die. Again, cells don't form properly. They haven't quite mastered that. So Thea Tilstey here is saying, well, these new cells are actually pretty stable things. They're reliable. And about this thing after the comma, making them less likely to form cancers.
Right. That's pretty interesting to all of us, because we're talking about, okay, prior, did they have cells that were coming together and actually forming cancer? And now this looks like it might not be quite the hot issue, or it might not happen.
Well, there was some danger with stem cells and the cells reproducing, programming them to reproduce, because cancer is actually malformed cells. And so if you don't have the right formula, it is possible to have these cells create cancer because they are not forming properly. So there is a danger, there is a risk with those cells. But the ones Tilstey talks about are much more genetically stable. She says they have great potential. So now, the 2007 cells were called iPS. What about the new ones?
These new cells are called endogenous pluripotent somatic cells, or EPS cells. So IPS and EPS, we are talking about these new EPS cells.
Okay, so just the change there of from induced to endogenous. And actually, just the thing is to know the difference is EPS compared to IPS, and that, you know, is a significant difference.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, you know, one letter, one word in there. And how does Thea Tilstey finish our reading?
Okay, we have pretty much everything we've asked them to make, they've made. And also, we're continuing here saying these cells have responded beautifully.
Okay, and if you see back there in line 7, that they were talking about instructing the cells to do some work, and they responded well. So that's the connection there with what Thea Tilstey finishes with, everything we've asked them to make. So whatever they've tried them in, it's worked, and the cells have adapted. Now, at the top of page 26, the top of the right column, we do have a sidebar there. What does it say, Nathaniel?
Well, it's called New Cell Discovery. The cells were first discovered in healthy breast tissue from women who were undergoing breast reductions. Researchers have since looked at tissue from more than 60 women. All had some of the cells, although it isn't yet known whether they exist in older women and young girls. We anticipate that we'll be able to get them from other tissues, and that's some of the research that we're doing now, Tilstey said. She added that researchers believe the cells will be found in both men and women.
You know, during one of our breaks, you had talked about that as you researched this article. You were wondering, where do they come from?
Yeah, in the main text of the article in the magazine, it actually doesn't mention where these new cells come from. And here we see it is from healthy breast tissue from women.
Okay. All right. So that is amazing. It is interesting that they're not quite sure if they exist in older women or young girls because, of course, while they're still young, there's still more development that needs to go on. And then, of course, there are issues as we age.
That's right.
So, were you surprised by that?
I was surprised by it. I'm like, wow, how did that even happen? Like, how would they even know to go there? So I guess that's one of the things that surprised me.
That is amazing. Yeah, you wonder, well, how did they ever get to that point and say, well, why don't we test this?
Exactly.
Why don't we test this tissue, see if, you know, for different things?
Exactly. And, you know, kind of reproducing the human body in a really positive way.
Yeah, so it's good news.
Well, I imagine with all the issues of breast cancer, they would want to study that material. And, you know, as we already mentioned, the possibility of cancer forming from reproductive regenerative cells.
Yeah.
It probably makes sense that they would study that some.
Okay, fascinating discovery here. Thanks, listeners, for being with us for day one of Newsworthy Clips. Come on back tomorrow. We'll see you.